Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a getaway Friday morning, Friday, March the 8th, 2024, 10 minutes past the hour. And we want to thank Abby Chase for coming in. Hour number one this morning, she's headed off to the big wrestling tournament down in Columbus at the Schottenstein Center in about an hour. And tonight during the Friday Night Live program from 8:15 until 10 p.m., she will be calling in a report about 8:30, and then she'll be back on Monday morning to give us another report during this program at 8:15. Wrap up all that's going on down at the big wrestling championships in Columbus. Now, need to do a little bit of housekeeping here. The Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast, the big Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast. How many years is it this year? 65th annual. Kiwanis Pancake Day will be tomorrow here in Marion. We will be giving away some tickets to this event along the course of these shows this morning, so stay tuned for that. Now, Matt Carrington and I will be the celebrity waiters tomorrow morning from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m., and then we'll be doing a show on the stage with Mary Ellen Withrow from 1 until 2, and Mary Ellen will be the celebrity greeter tomorrow from 11 a.m. till 12 p.m., so come out 11 a.m. to 12 if you want us to serve you pancakes and if you want to say hello to Mary Ellen. And then 1 to 2, we'll all be on the stage kind of doing what we did last week in the schools. And again, we thank the Marion Star. The front page of the paper yesterday was very nice. We certainly do appreciate that. And again, the article, Cheers of Joy, Greet Marion, native former U.S. Treasurer, marks the anniversary, 30th anniversary of her swearing in, and it's very nice of them to put us all on the front page of the paper and mention our names and spell them right, and they gave a lot of good publicity to the radio station, so I thank the Marion Star for that. Above the fold, color photo. It was a good day, Matt, for us here at WGH.
You know, I think anytime we do an event, it ends up being a good day for WGH.
Well, like I say, we've been on this tremendous roll since November, and I don't know what it is, but it's getting harder to top yourself at this point. But from the election coverage, which was great here, it rolled into lighting the Christmas tree in downtown Marion. It rolled into lighting the Christmas tree in Caledonia. There was, you know, Scott Spears Day in December, as proclaimed by the mayor, and then we rolled into Groundhog Day. You didn't hear about that? You didn't know about that? You didn't celebrate? It was right before Christmas. It was a big deal. I like to slip that in all conversations at this point. We'll come back to that in a second. And then we had Groundhog Day, which Miss Ohio came in for. We got national attention for that, thanks to the AP Wire. And, that was a little too funny. That was a little too much this morning. And then we rolled into the Mary Ellen event, and it got national attention, and then we were in the Star twice for it in a week. That's pretty interesting. A front page twice in the Star in a six-day period, and tomorrow doing the Kiwanis Breakfast. So there it is, and I was at Turn Up the Heat on Saturday night, the big gala over at the Women's Club. Carrington and I went to that, and our own Linda Sims was one of the winners. So there you go. The roll keeps on going. Now, joined in studio for the next 2 hours here this morning with Matt and I, Jessica Hauser returns from Jamaica, I believe is where it was.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Before we get to the Jamaica trip, now you were shocked to hear that there had been a day.
What do you mean?
Is that what you were laughing at?
Oh, your day.
My day.
I was shocked.
Oh, yes. You didn't know about this.
Nope, I didn't.
It was big news.
Like, are you kidding me right now?
No.
I think that balloon over there that says congrats is actually from Scott Spears Day.
Yeah, it was.
That's hilarious. You're a big deal. Now
you didn't realize that there was a whole day. I didn't know there was going to be a day till that morning, but it was very, very interesting.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, no as idea. Proclaimed by the mayor.
That's cool. Yeah. Now, is this every year or was just that day?
I will celebrate it every year.
Okay.
I think it's important to celebrate that every year once that happens. But, you know, Matt, you were here for that event.
I was, yeah.
There was a whole little thing that night, a whole little celebration, a whole little...
What'd you do so great?
You had no idea who you were sitting with.
I had no idea.
I know. All that. No, it was for my, I forget what the proclamation said, but it was for journalistic excellence, I think.
Oh, that's pretty neat, Scott. Congratulations.
Yeah, it was. Well, you don't expect that in your life.
No.
Especially this young, you know. That's more toward the end of, well, maybe he's telling me something.
Well, I just learned two things today. There's a Scott Spears Day, and they still make printed newspapers. I didn't know they do that.
You didn't know we were on the cover of the newspaper?
I had no idea that they still printed newspapers.
Well, you haven't ever walked by the news rack in the store?
No.
Yeah.
I don't go to stores. I do pick up. I don't go to stores.
I've seen you in stores.
Well, that's good to know. So
you were on the front.
So, yeah, I can.
It's a good picture too, isn't it?
There's still newspapers to shred for my earthworms.
Yeah. See, if you got the paper newspaper, you'd know all about Scott Spears Day.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, it was a whole little thing. Yeah, but it kind of got lost, I think, in the season. You know, it was December 19th.
Oh, it would be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so we were very close to some other people's birthdays.
Yep.
Yeah. So I, you know.
Right.
It's the way it goes.
Right.
What can you do?
Jesus getting
in. Yeah, that's right. He came a few days later.
Yes.
I was about a week earlier.
Yes.
You know what's interesting about the whole thing, though, that whole idea of proclamations and things like that, is that, it's very nice. You certainly appreciate it because it doesn't happen to just anybody. But I'm not really, I was never really sure what to make of it.
I wouldn't be either.
I mean, it's very nice.
I wouldn't know, but I'm very like standoffish about that kind of stuff, you know, and I definitely don't like to be like in front of anyone. So if somebody wants to give me a reward, I'd be like, can you just send it by email, please?
So now why not in front of anybody?
Because I'm shy.
Really?
Yeah.
Now see, we just did our tour of the schools last week, 2,500 people in 2 days, and we did the crowds at Pleasant and Elgin and River Valley, and you know we had about 700 people at each place.
Wow.
That we were speaking to. So I loved it. To me,
oh, I'm sure.
Well, but see, I am not. You would not catch me dead on the dance floor on Saturday night because that's where I don't want to be. You know, different situations.
That would be my favorite.
Really?
Oh, I love.
So you want to be on the dance floor?
I like to dance. Yeah. Yes.
So where were you at this big gala on Saturday night? Were you back yet?
No.
So, but if you had been, you'd have been there.
Oh, sure. Definitely.
Yeah. You don't like going out. That was a nice event. They raised $80,000 or something like that.
I do like going to those.
Yeah, it was fun.
Do you say gala or gala?
I think it's gala.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I think it's gala. I think gala kind of dumbs it down a little bit.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, gala is a kind of apple, so.
Is it?
But
it
you
is.
Can say gala.
But you can say gala.
It is. It is.
Yeah, gala apple.
But is it gala or gala?
I think it's gala.
It could be gala.
Because if you say gala, everybody's going
to
be thinking
about it. I think gala is a thing you go to, and gala is an apple.
Gala is an apple?
No, gala is a thing you go to.
No. Gala is an apple. No.
I think we got it backwards here.
No. Gala's the apple.
Oh, man alive. Who knew we'd be off in the weeds on this? Well, tell us about Jamaica.
It was great. The travel time was a lot longer than what I thought it would be, but it was sunny, it was warm.
Did you go on a cruise?
It was relaxing. Nope. All-inclusive is the way to go on those things, I think. That's the way we like to travel. We went with a group of 14 of us, so we went with friends, and, you know, it was a fantastic time with friends. Yeah.
So what was the thing to do in Jamaica?
I might have had some inappropriate activity in the kids' pool, but...
Inappropriate activity in the kids' pool?
I thought it might have been an adult-only resort, but it was next to a family resort, so we might have...
Now, what?
We might... But there was still a bar there in the pool.
Oh.
So...
Now, wait a second. So there's a bar at the pool.
Yeah, there's a bar in the pool.
In the pool?
In the pool.
But so there's a kiddie
swim
pool
to it. But
next
then
door.
There was kind of like, well, yeah, kids were loud in the pool.
Kids were loud.
I wouldn't say kiddie pool, but yeah, there was a kid pool next door with the slides and, you know, all the fun stuff, sprinklers and things like that for kids. And then right next door, probably for the parents, would be, you know, the pool with the bar in it. Then there's another pool. We were at the middle one, and then there's another one that's like adults only, no kids. Well, I don't think we realized we were in the middle pool, but our group gets a little rowdy.
So you were part of the inappropriate activity?
No, I wasn't. No.
No, you weren't.
Nope.
See, are you sure?
No.
No. So you were part of the inappropriate activity.
Yeah, swim up bar opened at 10.
Without describing this in detail, what might have happened in this pool?
My bathing suit might have fallen off. I don't.
Oh, your bathing suit might have fallen off.
No, it didn't. Uh-oh. I'm just kidding.
No. So what would be the inappropriate activity?
This leads somebody into one of our bathing suit might have fallen off.
You know, it's very interesting because that leads into one of our topics today. So that could be a good segue right there.
Great.
Yeah, that's a good one. So I mean, like the whole thing fell off?
Just the top.
No, but there are a lot of people around, right?
There was a lot of people.
This is going to lead into a topic. That's why I'm asking these questions. Normally, I wouldn't deep dive on this, but
now the kids kind of snuck up. You know, there was only like three or four kids.
So there were kids there for this.
It was misunderstood. You know,
that you didn't think there were going to be kids.
No, nobody thought there. Not me, but the other person.
The person who took the top off.
No, it fell off.
Are you sure it fell off?
It fell off.
Well, was it immediately put back on?
Yes.
Okay, like within minutes?
Well, before anyone has a chance to get a
camera.
Within
minutes? I mean, I don't know.
Were people trying to get to their camera?
No, but the kids came right over.
Oh, the kids. Now, had the kids not come over, would it? Oh, they saw it.
No, yes.
Oh, well, there you go. See, that's a problem. Well, that is perfect for the topic because that pretty much explains the whole topic we have here today. So let's start with, I wasn't necessarily going to start with that one, but why not? Bradley Cooper, big actor, said in a podcast recently that he walks around naked in front of his 6-year-old son and didn't seem to have any shame about this at all. And he said that's just the way he feels comfortable at home and it's nothing to do with his son. He would walk around naked if nobody was there. And he said his father did that as well in front of him and he observed it. So is that okay? Because people took this in kind of a bad way.
I mean, I don't know that you should be walking around in front of your kids completely nude. I think that might be a little much.
It's awkward to me. It was growing up, we did not do that.
Well, right, but now, would you do it now?
Nope.
You wouldn't do it?
Mm-mm.
Because, but you have a son.
I do.
Now, if it was a daughter, would it be different?
Probably.
So you
probably would.
Now, if nobody was in the house, would you walk around naked?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
So not a fan of naked?
Not a fan of naked. I don't even sleep naked.
Oh, neither do I.
I'm always scared, like, if the house catches on fire or something.
Exactly.
And I gotta exit.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to be standing in my front yard without any clothes on.
That's the exact point I brought up the other night when we first broached this topic. I said, how can people sleep naked? If the house catches on fire, you're going to be standing out there talking to a firefighter and some police officers nude.
Right.
You don't want that.
You know, it goes back to like when you're in school and you have the fire drills. You got to make sure you're like ready to go outside.
You got to be ready. What is wrong with pajamas? There are so many different ways now to wear pajamas. I mean, you can wear pajama bottoms and a t-shirt. What's the big deal with wearing clothes to bed?
I don't know. What's the big deal with not wearing clothes to bed?
Well, I don't know why people do it. It's very confusing to me. But Matt apparently has a reasoning for why, even though you don't, as you said the other night.
I don't.
You don't sleep in the nude, but you know why people do.
So supposedly there's like some research to back up the fact that if you sleep like naked, it lets out like you let out more body heat, which keeps your body into REM sleep longer. So like you're basically just in a deep sleep cycle longer because you sleep nude because of it, the way it releases energy.
Really?
Yes.
I believe that's a bunch of garbage. I hate to say it, but I just don't think there's any... I think that's something somebody said that justifies sleeping in the nude.
I'm a pretty deep sleeper.
Yeah, I've never had problems sleeping, so I mean, I...
that's interesting research. I mean, I guess I could try it, but I hope my... But then I'm going to be in such a deep sleep when my house catches on fire.
You're not going to wake up.
You'll go out that way. You'll go out. I just don't know. I have always... People have always worn pajamas. I've always worn pajamas. I don't know. It just seems odd that people would not.
Mm-hmm. And then just walking around. Like, I just can't picture myself doing dishes in the nude.
Yeah, no.
Well, I mean, let's go get these brownies out of the oven.
Well, I mean, is it just comfort? Is that what the whole thing's about?
I mean, I guess so. But like, I'm with her. Like, even if I was home alone, I mean, it just feels weird to just walk around without clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it eventually you got to pass by a mirror or something.
I know, right? It kind of feels weird for me just to walk around in a towel even, too. Usually, like, I don't go out in the kitchen or living areas even, you know, unless I forgot something out of the washing machine.
Now, would it have been different 20 years ago? Or is this just a thing in your brain that you don't want to be naked?
It could have been how I was raised, I suppose. I mean,
but you said, now see, this brought a whole other topic. When we first discussed this the other night, you said, though, although naked is not okay, just walking around in your underwear is.
I think so, yeah. I think that's a fairly common thing to do, is like, just, especially for men, is to just like just yes. walk around the house in the underwear.
Oh, see, I'm not okay with that either.
I mean, like, me either. I'm always fully dressed.
Oh, my dad coming out in the Fruit of a Looms to get in the middle of the night. Yep. Just, Dad,
So, I mean, that's pretty close to nude. That's about as close as you're going to get. I just couldn't imagine.
Big difference, though.
Well.
Huge.
Yeah.
Really? Huge difference. See, I don't know. Here, okay. I get what we're talking about. But, really, I don't know.
It's a big difference.
I mean, who would
according
look?
To the traumatization I had when I went in the bathroom at the wrong time.
Oh, you did that too. You've had a whole little thing going on.
I was traumatized
there.
When I went in the bathroom. I was like, no.
Oh, man.
Fruit of Looms are
bad. But now, how old are you when these traumas are happening?
I don't remember. Maybe 8 or 9.
Well, that's young.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think people in their underwear, that's a whole different thing.
It is different.
Yeah, but like, I'll tell you, and this is a funny thing, because a lot of people will compare bathing suits to underwear and then say, well, why are we so prudish about people in their underwear? Like, if I know somebody in a certain context, like maybe a coworker or somebody who I would not see at the beach, if I see pictures of them, and this is only thanks to social media, this is the only place you get this now, if I see them, like, you know, showing a lot of skin because they're at the beach or at the gym or place like that, I'm not offended by it, but it's just all of a sudden you see them in a completely different context than you would before. And that sticks in your brain, I think, like seeing somebody, you know, walking around in their underwear.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I don't know why people take those pictures and put them on social media.
I think people just kind of do what people want to do, I guess.
Yeah, they can do what they want to do, but I just don't. You know, if we're prudish about walking around the house in your underwear and we're prudish about certainly being naked, then why would you feel okay in a bathing suit posting that picture? Because really, if we're talking about skin, it's about the same thing.
Right. Yeah. I don't really like myself being bathing suit pictures on social media.
But, I mean, do you take them or are other people taking them?
I think it'd be hard for me to take a picture of
people selfie up everything now.
They do.
People stand in front of the mirror. They get it all worked out for them.
Yes.
Yeah, they know how to do it. Mm-hmm. They know how to do it. So I guess the bottom line of this whole story here is that, is this a prudish thing in society? Is that what it is? Are we just a prudish society? Or is it just you need clothes?
I think people walk around with a lot less clothes these days. For sure.
Oh, there's. Oh, yes.
And there probably is a lot of just walking around the house naked.
Yeah, too. But why do you think people wear less clothes now? I'm always interested by that because it's fascinating to me, especially women. I don't know that men are wearing a whole lot less clothes than they ever did. I think they're pretty well in the same area. But women certainly are wearing less clothes. And that's fascinating to me because is it because you're hot? Is it because you're... the weather has changed. I don't quite understand the reasoning behind it of why you would start to show so much.
Right. I've never understood it either.
It's very puzzling to me in a way.
Yes.
So I have to believe that a lot of that, maybe you're trying to attract somebody. I don't know. You think that looks best.
Or they just don't care what they look like. I don't know.
Well, some people don't, but I think some people... You know, I think some people do.
Right?
I don't know.
Do you think people wear less clothes, Matt?
Well, I mean, I think obviously if it's hot, they probably wear less clothes to, you know, so they're not as hot. But, I mean, I guess, I mean, like Scott said, it could be for, like, I guess just, you know, looks
appealing.
Yeah, it just looks nice.
That's the whole gym thing, because people will come from the gym right to public, no change of clothes at all, and they aren't trying to cover anything up. Now, see, if I was going to the gym and I had skin exposed at the gym for whatever reason, I think I would have a shirt in the car that you could throw on real quick or something.
I mean, I think most people have a hoodie in their car for after they get done working out.
Yeah.
But they don't. By the way, we're getting a message here online. Pajamas are too confining in bed. If there's a fire, I have a robe close by.
Yeah, see, you get it all worked out, I guess.
But you don't do it either, so I don't know. What do you wear to bed, pajamas?
I wear to bed what I wore the day that day.
Oh, so you wear your clothes to bed?
Yep.
Okay, well, there you go. Never in need of an iron or anything like that. Funny.
Now, I'll put the clothes on for the next day before I go to bed, so I'll just sleep in those and get out of bed.
So you sleep in the clothes you're going to wear the next day. Yes. That's what you sleep in. No, it's just pajamas. Pajamas.
Yeah, I will put pajama pants on.
Yeah, pajama pants.
I personally don't like pajamas. I mean, the person who said that they're too confining, I personally disagree with that. I don't like them because they're too loose, and I don't know. They're just kind of, I just don't like them. They're just uncomfortable to me, so I just don't wear them.
But in any way, are we a prudish society?
I don't think so.
I think we're all in now on this.
Yeah, I don't. There's not as much thought placed in someone walking around the house naked anymore.
Yeah, like, I would say, if anything, we're a lot less prudish than we used to
for
be.
Sure.
You know what's uncomfortable to me, though, since you brought it up about other people taking the pictures? What I don't like to see on social media, because you're right, it is usually not the person taking the picture who is in the bathing suit. It's odd to me when their significant other takes the picture and posts it there like a badge of honor. Like, oh, here, this is what I'm hanging out with. And I always think, what? Why do we need to see that? What? I mean, doesn't that come off weird?
I think that's kind of a similar thing to, like complimenting somebody over Facebook or something
for
like
sure.
that. I think it's kind of just for the public appearance of it.
Why do people... listen... I say good things on Facebook. I use it for promotion. You can scroll through my timeline. There is no personal opinion there. There is no picture of just me. It is all
vanilla.
Publicity. It's publicity. It's absolute publicity. And if I'm patting somebody on the back, it's honest, but it's usually in a co-worker setting. I would not get on Facebook and pat a family member on the back. I wouldn't get on there and pat a relationship on the back, because I see that person. I don't need to do that on social media. So I'm always fascinated by why people feel the need to do that. Like, oh, look at the great time I'm having with this person. And I think, have it.
Yeah, have
you
the
know?
Time. Get off, yeah. Get off of social media.
Why do we... See, because I assume you're putting that on there so we know you're having a good time. So immediately I get a red flag in my head that You apparently think we don't think you're having a good time, and herein lies the problem.
Right.
You know those pictures? I had the best time last night with blah, 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 blah. This is so great. And then they put the little emojis up there with all the whoop-de-doos.
Sometimes I like seeing them.
I mean, I do believe I did just kind of say that I mean, I don't like it. I mean, I didn't say it exactly like that, but I don't think that... I mean, I think if you're gonna, it's like that, for instance. Like, if you're gonna say that, like, you had a nice time, like, I don't know why you're, you had to have posted it on Facebook to, like, brag. Even if you didn't, like, do it.
I don't think you're happy.
Intentionally to brag, you did it to brag.
I think there's an underlying current.
Yes.
Sometimes, though, like, I really like how Facebook captures your memories and stuff. So it is kind of like a journal. Now, whether it's, like, public or friends only or, like, only me, or whatever, but I still really like how years later, you know, it'll show you your memories and your pictures and kind of like force you to look at those a little bit. And I really enjoy those, like from when my son was young and some of the things we did. So I kind of like it as a journal. Now, if I want to be nosy and start going through my news feed, which I don't do that much, you know, I probably spend maybe 2 to 3 days a week in half-hour increments just going through my news feed. Other than that, I don't really do that. I'll just post on there and, you know, change pictures. Hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what's up. You know, I have family all over the country. And so, you know, and, you know, I just think sometimes I do a lot with my plants, so I can remember, like, what my plants, like, you know.
Well, that's more of a journal, though.
Yeah, it's kind of like journaling.
Yeah, that's
really
not...
neat to use it like that for me. So, but I might not realize what when other people see the process.
Well, I don't know. To me, it's just
she's with so and so. Oh my goodness.
Well, that's a whole nother thing. But I do want to say we've got our friend Barbara listening in Pennsylvania. I think wearing less clothing is distasteful. Looks are put above everything else. Well, now that's certainly true. We do live in a very superficial society. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
But as we talked about a few weeks ago, I do think as you get older, that becomes a little bit less. I really think it has to at some point. Because everybody, at some point, I think you go through that stage where looks are very important, but then you realize how all those things ended, and then you're looking, I think, more for substance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
As they call it now, the riz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hate it. Terrible word.
You know what? It was the word of the year last year, the riz.
That's fine, I guess. I can't wait for it to just fall off the face.
You know what's funny, and I'm not going to bring this up in great detail because I want to move on to the next topic. See, we can kill a topic for 26 minutes here, but it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with this, but it all deals on the timeline because we learn about people through the timeline. We learn who they're with. We learn what they're doing. We learn what's going on in their life, and it's interesting because somebody brought up to me the other day, and I don't think they did it in a negative way. I really don't believe it was meant in a negative way, but I brought up somebody's name, and the first thing that they said, and it had to be taken from social media because they're not friends with the person, is they're dating a such and such person. And I thought, wow, that's where you're going? I was really shocked that that came out of their mouth. Yeah, I really thought, what? I couldn't imagine that those were the adjectives that you would use to describe anybody. And why is that a thing anyway? That would not run through my mind.
What were the adjectives again?
I don't want to say the adjectives because it'll give away what it was all about. But they were using adjectives that were not anything like I know that person or I've seen that person before. They were descriptive adjectives about the person. And I thought, what is a physical attribute? And I thought, that's very strange that would even be a thing. But apparently it is.
Yep.
So onward and upward, I guess. I mean, would you think that physical characteristics would be the first place you would go with a stranger? Or at least somebody you don't know very well?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah.
Really?
The older we get, like you said, it's less important.
I mean, I think
when you're young, yes.
what are you saying when you're young, though? I mean, what would be okay? What would be an okay physical characteristic to point out?
Like an okay physical characteristic to point out?
Yeah, that you would see from a picture. You don't know the people. Maybe you kind of know them, but you don't. And you're talking to somebody who maybe does know them, and you're saying, blah, blah, blah has a blank, put any adjective you want in there, relationship. And so what's an okay adjective there?
Describing the relationship?
Describing the person.
Describing the person.
I guess in your, I just didn't want to say, because obviously I would say girl, you would say guy. So in your case, guy, a blank guy. That's what putting a physical characteristic in there is just odd to me.
Right. I guess it can be odd, but I'm not saying that physical appearance does have a lot to do in younger relationships.
I mean,
even
also,
with, I think it
eye
does.
Color.
I mean, also, I think
long hair, short hair.
So did this person like comment on a picture or something?
No, I don't think it was a particular picture, but I'm pretty sure they gleaned the information from a picture.
I don't know.
whatever. I mean, do what you want. To each their own. It's just one of those things. In any event, let's move on to the next topic here, because I find this one fascinating. Talked a little bit about this with Abby this morning. Jason Kelce retired after 10 years. Which team, Matt?
The Eagles.
Eagles. Retired and got very emotional in the press conference, cried during the press conference, because he basically said, I don't know what's next. Now what? So I guess the question is, it's at 20 years old, this is a little bit of a tough thing, but have you ever been to a point where you said, were you ever emotional to leave something? And now what? Because what this really is all about, I've done something I loved doing. I wanted to do this. This is what I, and I achieved it, and now I'm leaving it, which I assume is where the emotion comes from.
Oh, it's hard to let go of things.
I have never had an experience like that, no.
See, we talked the other night, again, with this topic. We brought this topic up the other night, and what I found, I was dealing with Matt and Carrington that night, and by the way, I think that episode's on YouTube if you want to watch it, Search Exchange Scott Spears, but the interesting thing about them was, and Carrington's 22 and Matt's 20, was that they seemed to feel that it was okay in a sentimental moment, much like where he's crying, that it's always best to interject humor in those moments. And I really don't feel that it is. I don't think that's your moment. I don't think that's the time to pop a balloon.
Well, I mean, I think it depends on the circumstance. I mean, I think in that circumstance with Jason Kelce, no. I mean, he's sad, but he's not. I mean, I guess it's more of like he's upset. He's not like sad. I don't necessarily know how to phrase it. Like nothing bad happened. Like this, I guess these are tears of joy you don't want to stop tears of joy. That doesn't make any sense.
But not to put you on the spot, but it's in the article. I mean, it's not in the article that it was you, but we've talked about it when we did the Mary Ellen Withrow event last week at Pleasant. 750 people. We all gave our speeches, and here's Mary Ellen at this point in her life, and these kids. I will never be able to explain it, but 750 people packed in this auditorium, and knowing that all these high school kids came in, were born after she left office, and only knew her from what we were doing or Wikipedia or whatever it might be, and we got to the very end, and she gave her speech, which is it was the same speech she'd given 30 years earlier, and it's a very emotional speech, and there's part of that speech printed in here, and you should read that. Whether you like Mary Ellen or dislike Mary Ellen, whether you like this article or not, that moment in that speech is one of the most profound things you'll ever want to hear, and we got to hear it 5 times. So she gets up and does all that. Now, Matt is right in front of the stage at that point taking pictures. Sean is over on the side taking video. I'm on stage with Carrington and Mary Ellen and the principal of Pleasant. And again, 750 people on the sides, people in the aisles, and all of a sudden, all the students rise, and all the people there rise, and everybody puts down their camera, and then we on the stage all, and it's a standing ovation, and it is screams of cheers, and then Mary Ellen stood up after we were all up and just took it in, and I looked down at Matt during that moment, and he had tears in his eyes. It was that you could feel it in the room. It was just an unbelievable moment. I don't know that you could ever reduplicate it. And I didn't expect that was, we did it at 5 other places, and it wasn't like that. People did stand up.
Yes.
But there was just something about, it was so unexpected, and just, it was just something.
Wow.
And that moment can only happen at an event like that.
Mm-hmm.
Only in front of a group. Only, it just was a thing.
I mean, the best way I could describe it is like it's honestly like it was the end of a movie almost. Like it was like the climax of a movie. Like this is when the whole you know, you get the pan.
But I'm sure you didn't think at that moment when you went off stage to take pictures that you were going to get teary eyed. But it just sat in. I mean, it was a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what do you think, Jess?
Of that moment?
No, you weren't there for that moment. But the idea that, listen, it's not a good time to pop the bubble. Emotion, let it be for a second.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't listen to his speech or anything. I can imagine, though, he was probably retiring because, not because he wanted to, but probably because he had to. And there might be a little bit of a...
Oh, I'm sure there's
an
that
acceptance
in there.
Issue, and hopefully it sinks in and he figures out what he's going to do next.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think I wouldn't say he had to retire. He was good. He was still good. I think
I'm sure either they were.
Oh yeah.
They would have re-signed him. I don't know that it would have been for like a massive deal, but like they would have at least like re-signed him for a 1-year deal or something. Like there's no chance they wouldn't have not taken him if he would have come back.
But as I've said many times, when the train comes to the last stop, get off. Don't stick around when they're saying, why is he still here? Get off when they're saying, why is he leaving?
Mm-hmm.
Don't stick around. You don't do it just because people still want you to do it. Some inner voice inside your head at some point has got to say, I'm not doing this as well as I used to do it. And even though people still want me to do it, I'm not at the top of the game anymore. I should leave this
hole. I think in sports it's impossible to be on top of the game for your entire career. It just is. There's always going to be somebody younger, faster, and stronger than you because you're just going to age out. And then next thing you know, the 22-year-old kid who they just drafted is starting over you.
That's fine, but Muhammad Ali is a classic example. Muhammad Ali was it, and he was it. And in his 30s, he still had the great comeback where he beat Leon Spinks. But then in his last fight, which clearly he was just doing for money, he got pummeled by Larry Holmes. And you don't want to go out like that.
Yeah, but he still is great, though. So
you'll always be remembered.
Yes.
But people also remember that moment.
But
and
I
that
would
moment
like to
wouldn't
go
have
out
been
with a bang instead of a,
yeah, like,
a crash.
You got beat up,
yeah.
You know, and you had to spend a few days in the hospital. That's not how you want to leave them. You want to leave on your own terms. And I think that's more of the idea. So how do you feel? Now, you've had a little bit of life. Now, have you ever had a now what moment? Or
oh,
when
yes.
you had to leave something that you know, even though it's time to go, mm-hmm. it's emotional to go.
Yes. Yeah. But life moved on after that. It was fine.
So what was the moment?
I would say my moment was I had a really great career going for me, but it was out of state and I just missed my family. And, you know, so I wasn't ending the career per se. However, you know, I just made decisions to move back home. And that was a hard decision for me to make.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, you brought up Muhammad Ali there later in his life, you know, not looking the best.
Right.
I was watching the news this morning, and Mike Tyson, 57, I think they said, is going to be fighting a boxer.
See?
In his 20s.
Oh, okay.
And
so
that's
so
money.
I actually do know
yeah.
about this fight, and it's not just any
and,
boxer.
You know, Jason Kelce, you know, there comes a time when your body is giving out on you. And, you know, when you're an athlete and your body gives out on you and you're trying extra hard because you're losing it, that's when you get hurt.
Well, and also, you don't want to go. People are not going to forget you if you were a great person. They didn't forget Muhammad Ali. And people aren't going to forget the good moments that you gave them. But you're giving them bad moments now. And that's the problem.
Right. And, you know, anybody should want to go out on top instead of, you know, hanging in there and, you know, looking bad.
Well, on a much smaller scale, Matt and I have had this conversation, oddly enough, because clearly he's at the beginning of his broadcast career, and I'm in the middle of mine. But I have told him, I'm
no,
not
you,
in the middle.
You already had a Scott Spears.
That's right. Sun could be setting soon. Sun could be setting. Get out while you're ahead should be what it is at this point. But I've always said two things will happen. When I leave, nobody will know. That morning will be the more. I mean, I'll say it as I go off that morning, but I will not tell anybody because I don't want that whole thing where it's, you know, the big goodbye and a lot of pressure to do a big last show. And I will never come back. As much as I have liked this, as much as it's given me a lot, Scott Spears Day, nice awards, all that stuff, I will never come back in front of a microphone. I would never do it because I'm not coming back as good. I'm not coming back in control. And when you say goodbye, you should go. And Matt doesn't understand that. But do you get what I'm saying,
yeah,
caller?
Yeah. You know, basically, WMRN, when they put the morning news, you know, they never let nobody know. It was instant, you know.
Exactly. Get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. Well, hey, thanks for your thoughts, and call back in anytime.
Yep, thanks.
All right, Matt, you don't, you don't understand that philosophy.
I mean, I think if you like to do it,
and there's somebody who is willing to give you a position to do it, I don't see why you wouldn't do it.
Because it is in some way, you know, who knows what it'll be when you croak, but that's how people remember you. They remember you as radio guy. They remember you as broadcaster, and some remember your name. And sometimes when you die in that way, we're a weird society, a local society like Marion. That's what the headline is. They, you know, you don't just get the obituary. It's local broadcaster, or it's local mayor or former mayor. And you don't want part of that story to be that you were there forever. And, you know, I think you just want to be at the top. You don't want to be on the air forgetting things, and that just happens with age. It's not dementia or Alzheimer's. Just you don't have the energy at one point to chase things like you used to. And I also don't want to come back as a guest, because I think if I said goodbye, what am I going to talk about? I'm no longer doing it.
Oh, I'm sure you'll have plenty to talk about if you came back as a guest.
No, I would never come back as a guest, because I think that it's just bad. And that's terrible, because I want guests, but I just think when you leave, you leave.
Especially big things, though.
Yeah.
Like the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. You'll go.
Yep.
But see, they come back, though.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yes, they come back. Coaches, and it's always bad. I remember Mike Ditka. That's one of the great awful. Head coach of the Bears, took him to the Super Bowl in the 80s many, many times. Well-known coach, retired, big retirement, went on to become a broadcaster for NBC. He was an analyst. And then New Orleans got the expansion team, the Saints, and they said, let's get Mike Ditka as coach, and they offered him a boatload of money to come back, and I think he came back for 2 years, and those were some of the worst years. It was an expansion team. It was horrible records, and that's part of Mike Ditka's career now.
Okay, so I got a modern day example for you. Except
wasn't modern day. That was ancient history.
Well, Mike Ditka ain't around.
It was the nineties.
Well, it's 2020s, so you know.
20 years ago is ancient history. I didn't realize.
30, but yeah, it didn't. I mean, you know,
if it's not in Matt's life, it's history.
It's history.
ancient history.
But I mean, the Broncos kind of did this with Sean Payton. Sean Payton is now the head coach of the Broncos, and the Broncos had Nathaniel Hackett as head coach the year before that, and gave up a whole bunch for Russell Wilson, and then the team tanked. Like, did awful. So they instantly fired Nathaniel Hackett and then paid Sean Payton a whole bunch of money to come back. And he didn't, like, do a whole, like, 180 of the team, but, like, the team definitely did better. Russell Wilson was, like, at least a top 10 quarterback this year, whereas before he was, like, 30 at best.
There you go.
So, like, He made it better, and he got rid of Russell Wilson, which is something he wanted to do. It took an $85 million cap hit, but he did.
But you know what? I'll tell you something interesting about local versus national. Whether you're a local sports star, or you're a local broadcaster, or you're a local politician, whatever it is, and stay with me, caller. We're coming to you in just a second. It's interesting. People kind of poo-poo that as opposed to the NFL or NBC or the big places you could be, but I'll tell you what, the local broadcaster, the local sports star, the local politician you see in the grocery store, you see at the department store, you see them at your local events, and you have a much more personal relationship with that person than you would those national people have with anybody, because it's city to city to city to city. And when those local people go, it's a much more emotional and impactful event on your life, because you got up with them every morning. You went and saw their games. It was more than just one. So it's a whole different experience.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, caller.
What if Charlie hadn't come back? Look how many people wouldn't have got to enjoy him, because when I was first married back in the 60s and stuff, and we listened to Charlie every day, and then when I happened on your station and he was back, I thoroughly enjoyed these past years that we got to have Charlie again.
Oh, and you know what? And this is an interesting, because obviously I coaxed Charlie to come back because I wanted him to come back. I mean, it didn't take much coaxing, by the way, I should mention. It didn't take much to get Charlie over here, because we had been friends and we had done things together. But what I will always say about Charlie is, and just on, I love Charlie, let me preface this with that. I worked with him forever, 20 years. We had a great relationship. But he did a different show with us than if you would have listened to him in the 60s. He was an agriculture guy back then. He was a big fair guy back then. When he came here, he was doing current events. He was, for the first time, on air in a big way. He was doing giveaway shows. He was much more interested in history at that point. And Charlie's show was a different type of show. Charlie's show was not guest-driven. Charlie's show was based around Charlie. And it was what he knew and what he wanted to tell. That's an easier show to do than booking the latest politician and keeping up on the current event and asking the question and chasing people down. It's just a different thing. I think Charlie should have stayed around as long as he wanted to.
Right. But he evolved. And I think another generation would... You know, like you to carry on. That's all I'll say.
Well, I'm not, you know, you should never say never, so I can't say I would never come back if I left, but I'm not leaving anytime soon that I'm aware
of.
But
I
don't know, you're on top right now.
Jeff Ruth would come back, too.
Well, you never know. Like I say never, but you know, it's broadcasters, you know, you can never kill us. We die with the microphone in our hand.
Okay.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You know, it's an interesting point. I mean, I can tell you never now, but, you know, Madge Cooper, who was a great local broadcaster, she said something to me one time, and she lived to be 99, and I went and interviewed her when she was in her mid-90s, and I said, you retired when you were 65, but you've had this great, healthy life afterwards. I said, do you miss broadcasting? And she looked at me, and she said, I feel like where the microphone was at the end of my hand is where they cut my arm off. That's how she missed it. But wow. It was her choice to go. But once you go, you know, like 3 months of whatever, vacationing and whatever you want to do that you couldn't do, you start thinking, oh, why did I leave that? It's tough.
Yep.
So, and Charlie, the same thing. I mean, he left for a while, but it, you know, it wasn't much to get him back. Now, that could have been personal to me because we had a good relationship, but I think his family would also attest that some of his most enjoyable times were here. We had a great time together, and he shouldn't have left. He should have gone. But his show was just a different show than what I do or what other people have done. Did you listen ever much to Charlie, Matt? That was before you.
That was before me.
That was before you. We should mention at the next of the State of the Union was last night. Matt came over to my house and watched it. We should have invited you. You could have come over.
Oh, wow.
We could have all popped popcorn and watched the State of the Union.
Oh, yeah, it would have been good.
It would have been good. But Matt's got a 15-minute interview at the top of the next hour. Then Jess and I will come back in for the duration, and we've got two good topics next hour. Tell people what it is, because it's coming up in 15 minutes.
So in the next hour, for the first 15 minutes, I have an interview with the 2024 presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party, Chase Oliver. And I'm going to get his thoughts and opinions on the State of the Union speech.
So we'll listen to that, Jess and I, and then we'll come back in for the remaining 30 minutes. We've got two more topics, and maybe we'll discuss what Chase says here as we'll be sitting here listening to it. And we've got tickets to Kiwanis Pancake Day we're going to give away, probably starting at 11 a.m. this morning. So don't miss that. And again, Matt and Carrington and I will be the guest servers tomorrow from 11 a.m. till 12 p.m. Mary Ellen will be the guest greeter from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And then we'll be on stage from 1 till 2 tomorrow doing our program over at the Kiwanis Pancake Day. And we thank them for that. And again, thanks to the Marion Star for what they did. But to tie a knot, we got 2 minutes left in this hour before we go to break. Should you go or should you come back? Should there be a definitive moment for everything in your life, a time in the season, or is it okay to come back?
I mean, I think it's to each his own at a certain point. I mean, I think if you think that even though you love it, you should leave, I think that you're more than welcome to leave, but I think that...
I don't think you leave it because you love it. I think you leave it because you realize you're not what you were anymore. It's hard to top Scott Spears Day. Listen, what else can I do? They're not going to do that again. I mean, at some point, you got to say, well.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you enjoy doing it, and there's a spot for you, you could keep doing it. I don't see why. I mean, you should.
You can. Stop. It's your choice. But I'm just saying, you have to draw that line. Johnny Carson, you know Johnny Carson, right? Thank God. These young people have no idea who he is. But when he left The Tonight Show, he had a famous line. He told his producer, he said, "You have to promise me to tell me when I'm not doing any good anymore and I should go." And then he said, "Also, remind me if I get the itch to come back, not to come back." Because the itch, the tendency is to want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And he never came back.
So say go.
Yeah, so you say go and stay gone.
Go.
And stay gone?
Yep, stay gone.
Even if they're trying to coax you back?
Yep, stay gone.
Every time you try to leave, they drag you back in. That's how it goes. But you had that emotional moment with a job.
I did.
Yeah, but you got over it.
Sure, you do.
And now things are fine for you.
Better.
Better. There you go. Jessica Hauser, Matt Morgan coming back with us a whole another hour here. And top of the next hour, a 15-minute live interview with the Libertarian candidate for president, Chase Oliver, talking about the State of the Union last night. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Marla.
I don't know that's why it was successful, but it was successful.
You're the only Marla I've ever known, and thank goodness, because you're one of a kind.